ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। थाप्येकन्तभक्तेषु कस्याभूभानुकम्पितं यन्मे सुंश्चजथा सक्षात् कृष्णो दर्शनम् आगतः। Yet despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, although equal to everyone, is still more inclined to his unflinching devotee, who is completely surrendered and knows no one else as his protector and master. Having unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as one's protector, friend, and master is the natural condition of eternal life. A living entity is so made by the will of the Almighty that he is most happy when placing himself in a condition of absolute dependence. The opposite tendency is the cause of fall down. The living entity has this tendency of falling down by dint of misidentifying himself as fully independent to lord it over the material world. The root cause of all troubles is there in false egotism. One must draw towards the Lord in all circumstances. The appearance of Lord Krishna at the deathbed of Bhishma Ji is due to his being an unflinching devotee of the Lord. Arjuna had some bodily relation with Krishna because the Lord happened to be his maternal cousin. But Bhishma had no such bodily relation. Therefore, the cause of attraction was due to the intimate relation of the soul. Yet because the relation of the body is very pleasing and natural, the Lord is more pleased when he is addressed as the son of Maharaj Nana, Nanda, the son of Yashoda, the lover of Radharani. This affinity by bodily relation with the Lord is another feature of reciprocating loving service with the Lord. Bhishma Dev is conscious of this sweetness of transcendental humor, and therefore he likes to address the Lord as Vijaya Sakhi, Partha Sakhi, etc., exactly like Nanda Nandana or Yashoda Nandana. The best way to establish our relation in transcendental sweetness is to approach him through his recognized devotees. One should not try to establish the relation directly. There must be a via medium which is transparent and competent to lead us to the right path. Translation. Yet despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. This is a prayer being offered to Lord Sri Krishna by Srila Bhishma Dev, who is laying on a bed of arrows on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Bhishma Dev was given the benediction by his father, Maharaj Santanu, that he would never have to die unless he chose to do so by his own will. On that great battle, which was fought in Kurukshetra, the Pandavas, who were led by Lord Sri Krishna himself, they could understand that it was impossible to be victorious as long as Bhishma was fighting. So with great humility and devotion, they approached their beloved grandfather in the night in his tent at the camp of the Kurus. And they begged him with tears of love in their eyes, "Can you possibly instruct us how we can kill you? Because although we love you more than we love our own lives, it is the will of Lord Krishna that we win this war. And there is no other way if we do not kill you, if we do not defeat you." Upon hearing these words, Bhishma, his face became illuminated as he began to smile in great joy. In essence, what he wanted to tell the Pandavas, as much as you want to win this war for Krishna, I want to lose this war and die for Krishna. They were both serving Krishna with equal, unalloyed, unflinching devotion as his servants. But Krishna had a purpose for Arjuna winning and for Bhishma losing. Some people say that Bhishma fought on the other side, the side of immorality, irreligion, the side against God, supporting Duryodhana, because he was living in Duryodhana's palace, and because he was being fed and maintained by the Kurus, therefore it was his moral obligation to do so. From a very superficial and external point of view, that is true. But Bhishma Dev is one of the 12 Mahajans. That means he is a completely surrendered soul who understands the essence of truth. Sarva dharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha isham amasucha. The truth is that we should abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to the will of Krishna. It is said, Mahajano yena gata sapanta, that one can only understand the truth if one hears and follows in the footsteps of the great Mahajans, and Bhishma is one of those Mahajans. So do we think that he would go against Krishna for a mundane principle of obligation? Externally, he did not mind if people accused him of this, being paid off or bribed. But the fact was, he knew the heart of Krishna. He knew quite well that Krishna wanted him to fight on the other side, and Krishna wanted him killed. Why? Why would Krishna want his pure devotee killed? Krishna says in Gita, Konteya prati janemi me bhakta pranashyati. Krishna says, I always protect my devotee. Have no fear. So here is greatest of the devotees. Why Krishna wants him killed when he's promising to protect them? Because when Krishna promises protection, he doesn't mean to this physical body. Temporarily, he may. But ultimately, in the form of time, Krishna kills everyone's material body, whoever you are, whether you are a Paramahamsa Mahabhagavat or whether you are an atheist. In the form of almighty time, Kala Rupa, Krishna kills everyone. So what does it mean when he says he protects his devotee? It means he protects his soul from the illusion of Maya. He gives the soul of that devotee eternal life. Because Krishna does not see in the bodily concept. Krishna sees with divine vision, as we are meant to see. So therefore, Krishna wanted to establish, according to the great acharyas, that even the greatest, most powerful of all men on earth, if they are not on the side of the Lord and his devotees, they will be destroyed. Does not matter how powerful you are, does not matter how learned you are. Bhishma was trained in the art of fighting by Parasaram, who was an incarnation of Godhead himself. And earlier in his life, when he was a young man, he actually had a battle with his own guru, Parasaram, and Parasaram could not defeat him. He was equal to the almighty Shaktivesh avatar in his strength. Therefore, no one could defeat him. And he was trained in the science of the Vedas by Brihaspati. And he had equal intellect to Brihaspati. Therefore, the most intelligent, the most powerful, plus he had a boon that he could not be killed. He had everything going his way materially. But Krishna wanted to show, whatever you have going your way material, if you are not on the side of my devotees, you will be vanquished in the end. And Bhishma, in order to assist Krishna by teaching this lesson to all the world, he chose to fight on the opposite side. Such a sense of surrender. How many people understand him? Bhishma, obviously, he was a very learned man. He had tremendous intuition and insight into past, present, and future. He knew that the majority of mankind would misunderstand him, criticize him, for millenniums to come for fighting on the side of Duryodhana. But he did not mind. If this is what it takes to serve my Lord, to help him in his mission, this is my greatest joy and my most wonderful blessing of life. So when the Pandavas asked Bhishma, how can we kill you? He was just so happy. I was just waiting for you to ask. Thank you very much. This is the way. Bring Sikhandi first, and then Arjuna, you pierce me with your arrows from head to toe. Don't leave any space. And Bhishma came on the battlefield, and he started fighting with such heroism that he was just demolished. He was demolishing everything and everyone. But in his heart, he was very joyful, because he knew today was the day he was waiting for so long. So as Arjuna was shooting his arrows, because he had so much love for Bhishma, he could not shoot them very hard. So Bhishma was telling him, you must shoot harder. You must pierce me with all of your might. Because his body was like steel. And as Arjuna was shooting with all of his might, tears coming from his eyes, Bhishma was relishing the arrows going through him. And then he laid there on that battlefield of Kurukshetra with arrows from his neck to his feet. Arjuna would not shoot at his face. And if you go to Kurukshetra, that very spot, is called Bhishma Kund. That very place where Bhishma was laying down is still there. It was there that the whole battle stopped. Can you imagine the respectability of this personality? That there were millions of warriors fighting, and when he fell to the ground, he was so important and so loved by everyone on all sides that the whole war stopped that day. And everyone mourned for Bhishma and came to offer their respects to him. And Duryodhana came with a beautiful silken pillow to put under his head to give him balance. He said, on the battlefield, we cannot accept any luxury. Then Arjuna shot arrows under his head into the ground, and Bhishma was very happy. And then Arjuna shot an arrow in the ground, a special arrow, which brought the river Ganges to come into the mouth of Bhishma Dev. So that place is there today, Bhishma Kund, the place where Arjuna shot the arrow in the ground and created the Ganges. There is a plaque at that place which explains that Bhishma laid there for 6 full months. His body pierced. You could not even put a finger between any 2 arrows. But he waited. He could have died any time he wanted. Most people, when they're in that situation, they want to be put out of pain. Or they want some painkillers. But such pain is worse than death. But he just laid there and tolerated. Because he knew, with faith in his heart, that Krishna was soon to come. And Krishna, who knows everyone's heart, and Bhishma, who knows that Krishna knows everyone's heart. Krishna came with Maharaj Yudhisthira for one purpose only, to glorify this great devotee, to glorify his wisdom, to glorify his devotion, and to fulfill his innermost desire. So Bhishma is here offering his prayers to the Lord, that although you, my Lord, are equally kind to everyone, you have so graciously come before me while I am ending my life, for I am your unflinching servitor. Although Bhishma knew he was on the wrong side, although Bhishma, even during the battle, attacked Krishna and was shooting him with arrows and forced Krishna to break his own promise, Krishna vowed, I will not fight in this battle. He gave a choice to Duryodhana and Arjuna. One fight I will give one Akshohini division of my soldiers, a whole army. The other side will be me. But I vow that I will not raise a weapon and I will not fight. So Duryodhana was thinking, if you're not going to fight, what do I need you? I will take your armies. This was his faith. His faith was based on material calculation. But Arjuna was very happy. Ah, what do I need all these armies? If I have Krishna, I am sure to succeed. In life or death, if I have Krishna on my side, my life is perfect. So this is the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. Material consciousness is that we make so many material considerations in our life. We think if I have this and I have that and I can acquire this and I can acquire something else, if I can do this, then I will be successful. But a devotee does not calculate in those terms. A devotee understands one thing alone, that if I have Krishna on my side, if Krishna is pleased with me, I don't need anything else. Duryodhana was the emperor of the whole world. He had everything. Beautiful palace, family, power, prestige, respectability. But was he happy? He was constantly fearful. He was constantly being tortured by the fire of envy burning in his heart. What is the use of having everything if you're miserable? The Pandavas, although they were banished to the forest, externally, superficially, they were unhappy that they could not do their service the way they wanted. But ultimately, they were in a joyful state because they knew they had Krishna. They knew they were living in harmony with Krishna. So Duryodhana calculated, if I have these armies, who could defeat me with Krishna's soldiers? And Arjuna was thinking, if I have Krishna, what difference does anything else make, win or lose? But Krishna made this vow, I will not fight and I will not raise a weapon. Anyways, during the battle, Krishna played a trick on Bhishma. And Bhishma knew the heart of Krishna, in the sense that Krishna reveals his will to his pure devotees. So therefore, Bhishma knew that he wanted to show another example on this battlefield of Kurukshetra, how dear his devotee is to him. So he was going to be an instrument. And in the service of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna, to fulfill the mission of Krishna, Bhishma vowed that today I will force Krishna to break his vow. Because you see, just at the beginning of this battle, Krishna said, Kaunteya prati janehi na me bhakta pranashashvi. He says, Arjuna, you declare it boldly that I will protect my devotee. So Krishna wanted to put, Bhishma wanted to put Krishna in a situation where he either had to break his devotee's vow or his vow. So when Bhishma attacked Arjuna, he utterly defeated Arjuna. Arjuna was laying on the ground and Bhishma was coming to kill him. He was helpless. He was finished. And when Krishna saw this, he picked up the wheel of a chariot, Parthasarathi, and he came running at Bhishma. Bhishma put arrows in his body, but Krishna came at him with such fury, and when Bhishma saw this, he was very happy. He just put down his weapons and bowed at the lotus feet of Krishna and said, if you want, you can kill me now, my lord. I am yours. He surrendered. And of course, Krishna just went back to Arjuna to take care of his devotee. So here, Bhishma was fighting on the wrong side. He forced Krishna to break his vows. And yet Bhishma is saying that Krishna is so kind, he is so gracious. Although I have done all this, still he has come such a long distance just to come before me as I am dying. Why? Because maybe no one else knows, but he knows that I am his unflinching servitor. One great lesson we could learn from this example is this. We can fool some of the people some of the time, but we cannot fool all the people all the time, but you can never fool Krishna. Krishna is the knower of everything. Sarvasya cha aham hridisha nivishto matasmitir ganam apohanam cha. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani cha jina bhavashani cha bhutani mamtu vedana kashtana. Krishna says, I know everyone in full. I know all your desires, all your aspirations, all your actions, past, present, and future. So therefore, a devotee must learn how to be honest before Krishna. How to live in such a way that we are conscious that Krishna is the witness of everything we say, everything we do, and everything we think. That is Krishna consciousness. We can cheat others, but in the end, it's just a matter of us and Krishna. We can fool the whole world. We can conceal many things from the world. But the Lord in our heart knows all. So therefore, this is Krishna consciousness. To have this consciousness that Krishna is everywhere, he is the witness of everything. To be honest and faithful to Krishna in every moment of our life. And that is the real meaning of humility. To recognize that we are completely depending on the mercy of Krishna. And Krishna reveals himself according to how we approach him. There is the example in the Ramayana where Hanumanji, when he was told by Sugriva that Ram and Lakshman were at the Pampe Sarovar, at that time they didn't know who they were. They thought maybe they are messengers of Vali coming to kill us. So Sugriva sent Hanumanji, you go and you disguise yourself and you inquire who they are. So Hanuman, by his mystic power, he disguised himself as a Brahmin. And he came before the two brothers. But when he came before them, he could not understand who they were. But he just felt such an attraction, such a love, such a faith in these two people. And when they asked, who are you? He said, I am Hanuman. He couldn't lie to them. And he revealed his original form. Then he said, who are you? And Lakshman said that this is Ram, the son of Dasarath, and I am Lakshman, his brother. And Hanuman, this was his worshipable lord throughout his life. Finally, he's attaining darshan of them. He fell down at their lotus feet, and he got up and he said, what an offense. I worshipped you all my life. Why I could not recognize you? And Ram said, because you were disguising yourself from me, therefore I disguised myself from you. When you revealed who you were to me, I revealed who I was to you. Jayatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mamu vartmanu vartante manusya paratisarvash. If we are honest with Krishna, Krishna is honest with us. If we try to cheat Krishna, Krishna will cheat us. If we try to conceal anything, Krishna will conceal himself from us. This is Krishna conscious understanding. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains that one of the principles of loving exchange between devotees is to reveal one's mind honestly in confidence and to be willing to hear another person reveal his or her mind in confidence and honesty. Because the devotee is the representative of God. If we are honest with the devotees, we are honest with Krishna. If we are not honest with the devotees, with the sadhus, the real sadhus, then we are not honest with Krishna. Krishna will cover us over. He will hide himself. He will conceal himself. He will cheat us. That is his mercy. So in this way, what do we want in life? Do we want something of this world and we're willing to beg, borrow, steal, cheat for it? Or do we want the mercy of Krishna? This we have to evaluate. A devotee simply wants the mercy of Krishna. And here Bhishma Dev, he knew. Maybe nobody else understood, but Krishna knows my innermost heart. That whatever I did, it was to please him and to serve him. It was to do his will in this world. Therefore, he sat there for that 6 months, simply waiting, waiting, and waiting for Krishna to come. And Krishna appeared. And Bhishma was so grateful. How many of you, laying in a bed of arrows, pierced through the front, through the back, into the ground, elevated? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of such arrows. How many of you would be grateful to Krishna? Bhishma was grateful. He was offering his obeisances. Krishna, you are so kind, you are so merciful. You are allowing me to do this service for you. Now, I never wanted to come in this world in the first place. I've only remained here in your service as long as you wanted me. But now I am so fortunate. You are giving me your blessings that I can go back home, back to Godhead. And with these prayers, chanting the holy names of Krishna, remembering his beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan, remembering his beautiful pastimes in Dwarka, his pastimes on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, his pastimes in Mathura, remembering all these wonderful activities of the Lord, chanting the holy names of the Lord, looking at the beautiful form of the Lord, Sri Krishna, with tears of love flowing from his eyes. He offered his life as a sacrifice of love. Krishna, I'm yours. Bhishma did not die. Bhishma was taken by Sri Krishna back home, back to Godhead. That's all. For a devotee, death is welcome. We try to avoid death as far as possible to perform our service, because after all, in this world, there is so much service to be done. Therefore, we must try to prolong our life as long as we can, not because we like this world, but because we like to serve. And after all, this world is Krishna's world, so this world, that world, we are attached to wherever we can serve the Lord. Srila Prabhupada used to tell the story about the prophet who came to a village, and he met four different people. First he met a prince, and he gave a blessing to each one of them. He said to the prince, "Better you live." And then he met a brahmachari, and he said, "Better you die." And then he met a butcher. He said, "Better you neither live nor die." And then he met a pure sadhu. And he said, "Better you either live or die." So someone asked, "Can you explain what all these blessings mean?" Some of them sound like blessings, some of them don't sound like blessings. Can you explain?
No, they are all blessings.
You see, this prince, he's enjoying anything like now. He has beautiful young ladies, he has a beautiful house, he has a beautiful family, he has a beautiful wealth, prestige, everything. But because he's so spoiled by all these things, he's living in such disharmony from the will of God, he's engaging in so many sinful activities, that when he dies, he's going to have to suffer hellish existence. So better he lives, because he's happy now. And the brahmachari, he's living at Radha Gopinath temple with rats all around and cockroaches, and he's just sleeping on the floor in a little room with somebody else, and he's just eating rice and dal, and he's just a menial servant, has no pleasures of sex life or family life, which everyone wants so much. I mean, how can we live without these things? And he's just a menial servant with no prestige whatsoever, just serving his guru day and night. He's doing so much tapasya now. Better he dies, because he's guaranteed to go back to Godhead, the spiritual world, when he does. And the butcher in this life, all around him is blood and death and the screaming of innocent creatures. He's suffering terrible, and at the time of death he's going to have to accept the consequences of everything he's doing now. Better he neither lives nor dies. But the Vaishnava, the pure devotee, what is he doing now? He's simply serving Krishna, simply doing the will of Krishna. And after he dies, what will he do? The will of Krishna. Whether he's in this world or in the spiritual world, it makes no difference to him. He's seeing Krishna everywhere. He's seeing Krishna's service everywhere. He's chanting the holy name here. When he dies, he'll go back to Godhead, chant the holy name there. What is the difference? Either he lives or dies, it makes no difference. They asked us to our Gurudev, what do you expect to get out of this chanting of Hare Krishna? He said, chanting Hare Krishna. In the spiritual world, we will eternally be glorifying the names of God. We don't want to attain any platform than the platform we're on right now. Simply serving the Lord and chanting His holy name. We want to do this eternally. But we want to do it in pure love. So Bhishma Dev, whether he's laying on a bed of arrows on the side of the Kurus, or whether he's going back home, back to Godhead, for him, it doesn't matter. He's simply living for the pleasure of Krishna, in the service of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, with this beautiful darshan before him, chanting his holy name and remembering his wonderful pastimes, Bhishma is saying, Krishna, I'm yours. Do what you want with me. And it was at that moment that Krishna took his soul from that body and sent him back to the spiritual world. And everyone around, when they saw this, they were struck with wonder. Because through this incident, Bhishma has taught everyone for all times to come how to end their life in perfect harmony with God. Krishna says in Gita, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chijat chante kalevaram tham tham evaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavata antakale chamam eva smaran muktva kalevaram. That whatever you think of at the time of death, that you will attain without fail. Those who remember me at the time of death attain me without fail. And death is the final exam. It is the culmination of our life. To chant the name of God, to remember the divine form of the Lord, to immerse your consciousness in a grateful state, receiving the mercy of the Lord. This is the goal of human form of life, to die in that state. But the fact is, you cannot die in that state unless you first live in that state. And that is what our Krishna consciousness movement is offering to humanity by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, teaching us how to live in the state of complete remembrance of Krishna throughout the day, throughout the night, by coming together as we have this afternoon. We are practicing the Yuga Dharma. We are practicing the recommended process in this age to attain the highest perfection of life. The Yuga Dharma is to come in the congregation of sincere devotees, to hear the glories of the Lord and to chant His holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And it is said, Mahajano yena katha sapanta, that one must follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajans. And we can choose, we can select each of these 12 Mahajans and see that Krishna has manifested a particular virtue in each and every one of them, by which, if we follow, we can attain the supreme perfection of always remembering Krishna. Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yajim nam namaskaru. And what is the example that we must follow in the footsteps of Bhishma Deva? How to be willing to accept any position in life to please Krishna, and how to give up this body in the presence of the Lord and in the presence of His holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. In fact, just as Bhishma was witnessing the beautiful form of Sri Krishna, Krishna is no less standing before us today in the divine form of Radha Gopinath. And He is no less present every time we chant His holy name. This is the supreme benediction. This is the supreme blessing. And this is the ultimate wealth of our life, that we have Krishna's devotees, we have His beautiful form, and we have His holy name. People are very miserly to hold on to their money, to hold on to their wealth. But that wealth, chanchalam, is very flickering. Lakshmi, who is the presiding deity of that wealth, she is always moving from one place to another. No one can keep her for long. Huh? Therefore, Jayal Nilo Premadana, the supreme wealth is the wealth of love of God. The wealth of love of God, which is so easily attained by one who honestly and sincerely learns to take shelter in the association of Krishna's devotees, learns to take shelter of the beautiful form of Krishna in the temple, and learns to take shelter of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Everything else is extra and unnecessary. If we have it, we use it in His service. If we don't have anything else but the Vaishnavas, the Murti, and the name, we don't need anything else. We are satisfied. To keep this in our mind always is real Sanatana Dharma. To cherish and be grateful for every single opportunity we have to approach Krishna in His name with His devotees. That is the perfection of our consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.